Okay, we're ready. Turn on the hold.
We'll give it another minute.
Yeah, it's going. Okay. Ariana, just wait a minute.
Don't talk into that. I'm talking to this.
Oh.
How about the hold? Push the hold.
I got it.
So the hold.
What's that? Let's see.
All right, I'm going to call this here meeting to order. May I introduce?
Honey, Mary, are you going to?
May I introduce Paul Bulbach?
Okay.
And you all know Paul, and we're just going to give him as much time as he wants. Or as much time as 10:30 will allow.
Wait, no. You're trying to get like they were trying to do that legalism with Paul Sadler at the conference. Today is June 23rd. We're at Faith Bible Church, and we're in adult Sunday school. Before I get started, my wife's going to come up and sing a song. I don't feel right when she does a minister with me. So I can teach and preach, but I sure can't sing. I can do a dance, but I don't know if that's proper, you know, in church.
Hi. First, I want to, today is my son's birthday, and I want to, can we just sing happy birthday real quick?
What's his name?
Chris. Oh, I got two. It's Christopher's birthday today.
This is not going to be your song, is it?
No. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christopher. Happy birthday to you. One will not do. You must have two.
I don't know that part.
I don't know that part.
But it's his golden birthday. June 23rd, he's 23 today. Okay, I'm going to do He Is Able, because of, we go through stuff in our lives, and this is what that song is about.
Yes.
I'm even shorter than my husband, so nobody can see me.
I would stay away from the pulpit there.
Right. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, honey.
Nice.
Goes right with the message, too. I'm going to open up in prayer. I'm in dependence on the Holy Spirit within me. He doesn't come and anoint us from out here, as you hear a lot, you know, before a service, come and rain down on us. He's in us, and I'm just depending on him. And I hope you came expected this morning, expecting from God. You know, that's what faith looks to. And we're going to look in some things. We're going to go to back to the Old Testament, and it's going to look at glimpses of what Christ went through on the cross. And then we're going to come back. Hopefully I have time. I never, time is my enemy, it seems. But I know the pastor will give me the sign. I know 10:30, right, Pastor?
That's what you should aim at.
Last time I thought it was 10:45, and he was freaking in the back. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. It's totally undeserved. It's an extension of your unconditional love. I pray, Father, that you'll just bless those who came out early this morning, Father. It's a little bit hard to get out of bed earlier, and I pray that you'll just bless that, Lord. May we know your heart. May we see more of the depths of your wisdom. May you all open up the door and time pass, Father, in our minds, that we might see just what Christ went through for us and how you demonstrated your love in this while we were still sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. May your Holy Spirit be the true teacher today, Lord, and may your Son be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I should talk to my wife, right? I'm telling her to stay out from the pulpit. I mean, you can barely see my head from it. But we're going to take, the name of my message is Checkmate. Kind of a funny sounding title for in church, huh? But you'll see what I mean. It's actually how God checkmated Satan through his wisdom. We're going to take a behind the scenes look at Christ's crucifixion and also at God's wisdom and how he defeated Satan with Satan's own craftiness. God is so cool. You know how the kids say, awesome? Truly, God is awesome and so wise. We're going to go to Isaiah 50, verse 8. And we're going to see something. Christ challenged Satan. You know, it's almost like you call somebody, you know, I grew up on the streets of Chicago, and you call somebody out and tell them, come on with it, you know. Feeling froggy, jump. And Christ, literally, thinking of courage it took. But his focus was on the Father. That's why he could face things. And we can learn something from that. So, again, Isaiah 50, verse 8. This is a prophecy about Christ. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Saying, who's going to step up? Here starts a challenge to Satan. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Look at Christ calling him out. Christ is calling Satan out. And the idea is to stand together. When you see that, it's like two combatants in a battle to the death. And that's what this was. So we're going to look at some glimpses. You know how when you watch a video or a DVD, and at the end, Mary loves watching the trailers and little things, scenes that maybe you didn't see clearly in the movie. And so, you know, all scripture is for our learning, right? And for our comfort. So we go back, you know, mid-Acts dispensationalists are accused many times of what? Throwing out the rest of the Bible, right? We don't do that. The scriptures we learn from, Paul tells us to learn from in the Old Testament, though they're not our marching orders there. You find, where's our marching orders in Paul's epistles? And like I said, hopefully I'll have time, and you'll see how God revealed to Paul. You know, you see glimpses and pictures back here, but where it's just so clear what Christ fully accomplished at the cross. Let's go to Psalms 22, starting in verse 6. And I think I'm going to go down to verse 21. Forgive me, this Bible's new. Psalms 22, verse 6 through 21. This is Christ, another prophecy of Christ on the cross. And it's a picture of, you know, we think of Christ's physical suffering he suffered. And if that don't move you today, then something's wrong. You know, if it still doesn't move us in our hearts, in our wills, in our minds, what Christ went through, there's something wrong, and we need, like that song, I was listening to a song on the radio, it says, it's not about me, it's coming back to you, Lord. It's all about you. So, let's look at it. But I am a worm. Now, you know, there's teaching in the Word and Faith movement. Kenneth Copeland teaches Jesus became a worm. He didn't become a worm. But it's a metaphor, if you want. It's a figure of speech. It's showing what he was going through. And no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Think of Christ when he was on that cross. So many of them were laughing at him. He was, his disciples deserted him. So you ever feel lonely? Christ understands your loneliness. The Father turned his back on him. He stood alone on the cross. Temporarily, the Father had to turn away while he dealt with our sins. All that see me laugh to scorn. They're laughing at him. When you share the grace of God with people, when you share right division, when they're laughing at you, the denominationalist, excuse my, I'm not, my diction ain't real great. When they laugh at you, so what? Think of Christ. They laughed at him. I would rather, my old pastor said, stand with God and be right than stand with the majority and be wrong.
Amen.
And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of courage, love, and a sound mind. When you're feeling fearful, if God didn't give that to you, where's it coming from? Satan working through the flesh.
Amen.
And so we have to take every thought captive. Not only arguments with other people against the truth, in our own mind, take them thoughts captive. And let the Word of God direct our mind, our thinking. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit indwelling man's spirit, teaching his mind, thereby directing his, or controlling his emotions, because your emotions respond to your thoughts, thereby directing our will, not forcing it, thereby what? Expressing himself through us. In verse 7, and they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver, and let him deliver him. Seeing he delighted in him. You remember that? On the cross? You know, Christ up there suffering. Oh, if you're the Messiah, come on. How come God ain't delivering you? And there he is, all alone. Suffering for us. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. What's Christ doing here? All this terrible physical things that's happening, and we're going to see it wasn't just physical. And what is he hoping in? What keeps him focused, his eyes fixed on the Father, trusting in his promises, knowing the Word of God? You know, remember when Jesus was even a little kid, because, you know, kids don't realize, young people, sometimes the importance of the Word of God. You know, but Christ was in the temple, and he was, you know, sort of talking with the big shots there, you know, from the mouth of babes. He knew his word from a young child. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God and from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Christ stood there all alone, suffering our death, our penalty, our shame. And nobody else could do it. Now listen to this, because we think of his physical, the things that they did to him physically, and we'll see more of that. But there was more in the spiritual realms. Christ was being attacked. Satan gave him his best shot. Actually, Satan, if you remember, entered Judas. Remember that? Satan wouldn't even let his cohorts have a part of this. He thought if he could get Christ crucified, if he could get him killed, that's the end of Israel's hope. He was surely surprised. But not only that, then you see the wisdom of God through Paul, that God was going to do more than redeem Israel. We'll see hopefully later. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. If I get to the last 5 minutes, I'll try and wrap it all up. Look what he's going through. And think of when they came out of Egypt and they became a nation. What were they worshiping? The golden calf. And you see, in false worship, there you'll see bulls. And so look what he says. And actually, it's Satan worship. Many bulls has compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Christ is on that cross, not only suffering physically, if we think about it, he's nailed up there, his hands are nailed, blood coming down. They shove a crown of thorns down into his head, making fun of him. And the thorns, the more it swelled, the more they dug down. They beat him up, they rip off out of his beard, they're spitting on him, spitting on God. How evil the sinful nature can be. And he's going through all that, his feet, and really in crucifixion you start dying from suffocation. Every time you pull yourself up to breathe, the pain racks through your hands and your feet. Now, and he's going through all this physically, beat down like no man was ever beaten. But his black back bloodied. I mean, you get the picture? His bones showing, his muscles showing, blood coming down for us. God hates sin, and his righteousness is offended by sin. And his justice has to enforce his righteousness, and he has to punish sin. And so he's pouring his wrath on Christ. And while all this is going on, he had turned his back on Christ. Christ never experienced that. He always had fellowship from all eternity past with the Father, this wonderful, loving unity, diversity and unity. And now the Father has turned away. He's all alone. And then not only that, in the spiritual realm, Satan is mauling him like a lion, grabbing and ripping and shredding, and these bulls of Bashan are attacking him. Think what Satan was attacking his mind. You ever go through things and you can't get your thoughts stopping. They keep flying, you know? And sometimes I think, especially if your desire is to be used by God and God's using you, you're going to be attacked, brother. You're a missionary. You're going to be attacked. And that's why we have to put on that whole armor of God. And a lot of times we forget in the morning to put it on, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying, you know, physically. But it's that idea. And to realize we're in a spiritual battle. But you know what? The battle's won. We have to appropriate by faith what we have in Christ. And we see Christ winning the battle here. It wasn't easy what Christ went through. What a man Christ was. See, he didn't come to earth. He was God, the Son, in heaven. He came to earth, right? But he didn't come to earth to live as a man. I mean, as God. He came to live as a man, and he made his humanity available to the Father so the Father could express himself through Christ, and he set an example for us. Remember what Christ said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was so dependent on the Father, he didn't use his godly abilities, if you want, as a man. It was the Father expressing himself and his power and his love through Christ. And that's what we learn. As you make your humanity available to the Father, he can express his love and truth and grace out of you as we depend on him. You know, on Thursday nights, I dealt with being filled with the Spirit. It says, don't be drunk on wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So what is being filled with Spirit? And dependence, whatever you're on dependence on, will control you. So as you're dependent on Christ, dependent on the Father, He's going to express out of you and He's going to reach people. But if you get on Major Ian Thomas, he had to learn something. He was trying everything he could to serve God. Everything he could in his own strength. He was in college. He was at every youth meeting, every church service. He was trying to lead people to the Lord. None wasn't happening. And then, you know what he had to find out? He was trying to do for God what only God could do through him. And he had to just give up. I remember when I came to that point, I said, Lord, if I'm going to live this Christian life, you're going to have to do it. And then, he said, people started getting saved in his ministry. He started having the joy and not worn out and beat down. But he said every time he tried to get cute, him adding himself in there, he said God just would stand back and say, go ahead. You know. In verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. I've heard it said that Christ actually died of a broken heart. You know, think he's doing this for us. What love is this? My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Does this remind you of anything that Christ taught Paul about strength? What did Christ tell Paul when Paul prayed to take his infirmity away? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. See, Christ challenged Satan to a duel to the death. And then Christ comes out weak. You know, boxers will do that. They'll get hit. I love Ultimate Fighting and I love boxing. And sometime a boxer, the guy will hit him, he'll go back on the ropes, kind of ropey-dopey, and then all of a sudden the guy really comes at him and bam, he comes back. Christ, in his weak, he allowed, you see God's wisdom here, because what do we like to think? Oh, let's be strong, right? Let's have a big, strong church, like the big mega churches, right? But it's in weakness Christ's powers may manifest. It's in his weakness when Satan gave him everything he had. Think of what we go through sometime when you get a spiritual battle in your mind, you know, and here we are, we get a little bit, you know. Christ is there, Satan's gnawing on him, ripping at him, and he's not alone. I don't know how many demons were there, all at the same time just mauling him spiritually. And then Satan thought he had him, right? Got him, he died. What happened in 3 days? Man, can you imagine Satan? You know, it's taken boldness for me to teach this morning. Because Satan don't like when you show God's wisdom and how God defeated him at his own cleverness. So I'm sure he'll come after me, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. And you could see that can be the Gentiles, they called dogs back then. They were surrounding him, right? They pierced my hands and my feet. See, it wasn't, you know, people say that, you know, Christ was, he claimed to be God and this and that, you know. But these were all prophesied. Now, Christ couldn't make them do certain things, or he couldn't choose where he was born. It was prophesied right where he was born. These are all fulfillment. Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of prophecy about him. And why do we follow Christ? Why don't we follow Buddha? Why don't we follow Muhammad? Isn't that a religion of peace, they say? Why not Taoism? Why not become a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or whatever-ism? because Christ resurrected. Everybody else's bones of the famous world religions, they're still in the grave. Christ has resurrected in power. Over, he resurrected and he's victorious over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There's no more fear in death for us. Remember, what's his name? Earl Roberts, when he said that God told him that if he didn't raise this money for a hospital, that God was going to take him. What are you afraid of, bro? To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's why we don't got to be afraid of dying. Now, maybe how we die. I don't want to die in pain, but even there. Who better to glorify God? I remember a lady with cancer that was dying, and she gave her testimony at my sister's church. She had a thing around her head because she had went through the chemo, and it wasn't working. She was dying. She had a daughter, and someone in the church agreed to, or asked her if they could raise her daughter. Well, love, huh? But her testimony was so powerful. She was praising God. She's dying of cancer. She wasn't saying, why, God? The only thing she was concerned about was her daughter. So no matter what we're going through, we can say, praise God, Lord. Let me glorify you in this thing. When me and Mary in the last 5 years or whatever, and you in this church have showed so much love in being there for us. But as we're going through things in the beginning, you don't understand why. And it's okay if you ask God why. Because at least you're going to him. You're not getting away and being mad at God, and I'm not going to talk to you, and I'm not going to pray, and I'm not going to sing, and I ain't even going to church. Like you're going to twist God's arm. See, he don't suffer for that, though it does, it grieves his Holy Spirit. But God's got life. He's got joy. It's us that will suffer. Because, like Peter said, you know, where can we go? You have the words of life. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou, I'm sorry, this King James here. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Who's he trusting? Who's he focusing on? The Father. Even in the midst of it, and the circumstances didn't change, did it? But he was going through it victorious. Can we learn from that? As you focus on Christ, no matter what you're going through, you can go through it with strength. Even in our weakness, you go, yeah, but I'm feeling so weak. Christ says, good. Now you're going to experience my strength. And other people are going to see it. Those people you've been praying for. People praying at work, in your families. They see that something about you. Not that, don't try and act like you're perfect or you don't have any struggles or whatever, because then they can't relate to you. You know, they think, oh, there's that holy roller, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, and then they want to get away from you. You know, sometimes they'll do that anyway. I used to go by my aunt's house, and we'd have a lot of laughs. Our motto was, hey, as long as you can still laugh, things ain't that bad. But she's telling me, I'm not going to say what she said, but she'd say, you son of a bee, you make me feel guilty. I go, for what? I didn't even, not saying anything. They see Christ in you. Yeah. And at times, you might share like how, what God's doing in your life, and they would get convicted. But she didn't respond to it. I remember her one time at the kitchen table, I walked in, the lights were all dark, and I'm like, what are you doing? She said, just thinking. And I'm thinking, that day the Holy Spirit, I think, was really convicting her heart. But as far as I know, she didn't respond. Sad. Deliver, verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. He's not just thinking of himself. Who's his darling? Israel. He's thinking of, he loved his people. Though they were so many times fell into idolatry and it angered God, and well, Jesus loved them, and God sent them into them. You say, how could they do that, right? That's loving God. Well, what about us? Well, pastor, you see yourself in the Bible? How about in the Pharisees? You go, they were so self-righteous. You see yourself sometime in the Pharisees? Or Peter being ashamed No, I don't know him. Praise God for his grace. Look how he used Peter. You know, every great leader in the Bible failed. God uses failures. Actually, he can use them best. Because then you're more understanding with other people and their failures, and you're not so judgmental. Save me from the lion's mouth. Again, Satan ripping at him. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation where I praise you. What was Christ holding on to? He knew God would resurrect him. And that's like us too. When we go through things, right? I'm sure everybody's going through something. You know, some people don't like to talk about it. Some people like to talk about it too much. I read some on Facebook that don't talk about your troubles all the time because it makes them bigger than they are. We should talk about Christ and focus on God, and what happens, your troubles start shrinking because it's God who works all things out for your good. Let's go now to Isaiah 54-9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. When you're feeling weary, where do you go to? God's word, right? Do we? Or do we go some other place? Sometimes we do, right? But you find out, you know, it's idolatry. When we don't go to God for what only he can do. We're created to be in dependence on him. When we're going other places, that's idolatry. But when we do that, what's wonderful, and you know what's so evil when people teach when you what they call backsliding, and you can lose your salvation, and that God's going to punish you and get you. And what did Christ do on the cross? Did he suffer all of our punishment for our past sins, our present sins, our future sins? Everything. And then people, when they hear that legalism, they're afraid to kind of turn to God. Whereas, you know what? Well, you know what? God, his Holy Spirit, when we choose to go and miss the mark, you know, sin, they say one definition is missing the mark. You know, there's that thing of glorifying God. When we, you know, got a crooked arrow, going, you know, missing the mark, the Holy Spirit goes through it with us. And how I could explain it, it's probably a poor illustration. Christ is like in a car with us. And he's saying, let me drive. And you're like, no, I got this. I want to show for you. I want to show you around, you know, because I got this thing. All right? And all of a sudden, he's going, I know the way. Matter of fact, I am the way. I'm the truth and the light. But yet, nah, I got, you know, you're like in that big Cadillac, leaning, nah, I got this, bro. And all of a sudden, you hit some, because you're cool when the highway's smooth till you enter Illinois. And you start hitting all them potholes, right? Now, boom, 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 down the hill. There you are, laying there, you know, needing a couple stitches in your head. And you're like, and he went with you. And Christ says, are you ready now? Because he'll never leave you, never forsake you, even when we make the bad choices. And that shouldn't make us want to just go sin.
That's right.
You know? Though sometimes we do. But when we do, we know we don't have to stay focused on that, because you miss the joy and you miss that peace of that relationship with the Father. And so, if you get your focus off, what do? Get your focus back on. Bible will break things down real good for you. Verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Christ allowed them to do this to him. He even said, if the Father didn't put in your hands, in so many words, couldn't do this. Christ knew this is the only way. He knew that the only way to purchase our redemption, to pay for your sins and my sins, and even those who reject Christ, Christ died for their sins too. And the only thing that stops them from salvation is unbelief. And unbelief don't need to be forgiven, it needs to be repented of, a mind change. And he did that for us. He stands there, they pluck his beard out. Like I said, we're getting a little bit more the full picture of, we see what was happening inwardly in his mind and what he was facing and struggling with. And you see how he dealt with it, focused on the Father, believing the Father's promises. In the face of all adversary, in the face of he's dying, he's being put to death, he's trusting the Father. Boy, can we learn from this, huh? Stay focused. Look in verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, you can do it all through Christ. And it's not based on feelings, because I don't feel a lot of times like I can do things through Christ. But in that weakness, and we just hold on to His promises, appropriate by faith what we have. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're accepted in the beloved. God's working all things to our good. And you hold on to that and you rejoice in the midst of the storm. Whether God brings you through, changes the situation or not, He will bring you through it. And you'll be stronger in your faith because of it. And with the God of all mercy and comfort, He's a God of mercy and comfort and grace. And with the comfort He gives you as you go through things, you're able to comfort others who are going through that. You want to be used of God? You want your life to have meaning? Or do you just want to go through life, I'm good for, I like to have fun. You know, I was thinking, and it's good to have good, wholesome fun. But life ain't just about having fun. It passes fast. I was thinking yesterday, 2 days off, and I started working at a staffing company, and praise God, so I can keep doing the Thursday Bible studies. I have gas. But I'm thinking, half my weekend's gone. But then I thought, hey, I still got half. And I thought, man, it goes fast. But then Friday will be here, and then I'll get paid. So that's a good thing to go to work Monday, right? And I thought, God, life goes fast. It's passing. It seemed like the older you get, start picking up speed. Right, Dave? Woke him up there. Excuse me. So let's redeem the time. Let's learn, ask God, because on our own we're going to fall on our faces, to help us to walk circumspectly. That's like somebody on a tightrope watching their walk in their life. I don't know, you're getting convicted, I am. Then he says in verse 7, For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. He's focused on God, and he's got his goal. He is focused like a flint. He knows he's the only one who can purchase our redemption. Sorry, religion, you're wrong. Our fingerprints ain't on our salvation, not one thing. And religion will teach this, and even if they really tone it down some, they'll say, well, Christ did 99%, but you got to kick in the 1%. Well, my old pastor said, if you kicked in the 1%, you saved yourself. God will not let anyone touch his glory. It's all because of what Christ did on that cross. I'm going to have to skip a little bit. Go to Luke 24, 44 to 51, please. New Bible. They should make them with the pages sprayed or something so they kind of easier to open. This is Luke 24, 44 to 51. Now this is after Christ's resurrection. Satan thought he had him down. He gave him everything he had. He used all of his wisdom, all of his power, and yet it's like almost like it can't compare, but just to give you like Rocky. Beat down. This guy can't get up. And Satan is in victory. I killed him. They're probably having a party. Him and his cohorts. And what happens? Christ rises from the dead. And when Satan hears it, he thought if he could kill Christ. But God confounded him. And God even allowed him to be used to fulfill his purposes. That's why Satan hates grace. Why he hates us, because we're God's children. We're members of the body of Christ. And we preach God's grace. And we boast in the crucifixion, in the cross, right? Satan hates us. You're blessed to be hated by him. But I'll tell you, Satan is God's... How was that put? What's a better compliment than somebody to want to be like you? Satan says, I'll be like God. But God says, you can't be like me. I created you. Your wisdom is perverted and it's limited. That's why we don't have fear, Satan, because Christ not only forgave our sins, he broke the power of sin in our life. Satan didn't know that he was going to do that. That was a secret. Part of the mystery that was given the Apostle Paul. But Satan hates grace. He didn't know he was going to form the body of Christ that is going to fill them heavenly positions of authority that the angels, before they became demons and fallen, that they had. And that now, God, through the nation Israel, is going to take dominion of the earth. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. We're not a kingdom of priests, sorry. And through the body of Christ, he's going to take dominion of the heavens. And in the fullness of time, Christ will rule heaven and earth. And he'll have his rightful place on the throne. Sitting at the right hand of God. Satan didn't know all that. Satan thinks he's so wise. Satan thinks he's wise in what he'll come against us. And sometimes we think we're so wise, we ain't got enough time to get into the Word of God and to spend time in prayer and focus. Or we do get into the Word of God and we don't apply it, or we get puffed up. And so Satan comes against us in different ways, and he knows what you ain't putting on that spiritual armor. And if you're going to run away, you say, I don't really want to be in this battle. Too late. You signed up the moment you trusted. You don't get out the army just because I don't like this training, this discipline. It ain't punishment. Your sergeant's getting you ready for the battle. But if you want to run, there ain't no armor for your backside. And if you don't think he'll come after you, he might leave you alone for a little while, but he'll use you. But whatever Satan does in your life, remember God's wisdom. God turns everything around, even the bad things in our life. God works all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose, who love him, right? I didn't say that exactly correct, but he works it all for our good. So with Satan, like, remember what Joseph said? Now, Joseph in the Old Testament, and there's a lot of types of Christ in Joseph. Think what happened to Joseph. He's serving God. God gave him a promise. He gives us promises, not Israel's promises, not Joseph's promises. Some we can, they're transdispensational if you want. Anyway, Joseph told his brothers, they sold him into slavery, right? Why? Because he had a dream? And he was his father's favorite? And then he starts rising in the ranks because he's faithful. He's still serving God. And then as he's doing it, what? Satan comes with another wave, right? gets thrown in jail accused of being a rapist. And what does God do? Rises him to the top. And what did Joseph learn? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Whatever Satan brings against you, whatever it is, no matter how bad it seems, God is going to work it for your good. And he's going to build the character of Christ. Because in the context of Romans 8:28, the idea is being conformed into the image of Christ. I want that. Do you want that? Let's look at, here. I got 5 minutes. Satan couldn't stop Christ from resurrecting, right? But Satan don't give up so easy. So he thought if he could, because the nation of Israel was going to be the tool that God would use to reach out to the other nations, the Gentile nations. Gentile means nations. Well, if he could corrupt them and their leadership and keep them from trusting in their king and Messiah, their redeemer, their deliverer, how's God's program going to work? So part of the program at the end, when Christ resurrects, he gives them the Great Commission for the nation, for the Jewish disciples, for the, in God's prophetic program for the nation Israel, right? And he says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. See, all them things Christ fulfills. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Here's a little gem for us. If you don't depend on the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind, to teach you what the truth is in the Word, you're not really going to grasp. But you'll know what it says, but you won't know what it means. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Throw a little commercial out. We're doing Thursday nights about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, little commercial invitation. Then open he their understanding, and they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance of and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Where? Beginning at Jerusalem. Why? Because it was in the nation Israel that, in another passage, said beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then all parts of the world. Well, it had to begin in Jerusalem. They had to trust Christ as their Messiah. And Christ, well, let me keep going here. And you are in verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye. He didn't say, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like they say, oh, we need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence, speaking in tongues. He didn't tell them that. He said, wait upon him. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So now I'm wrapping up without being, I got half the message still. I always have that problem. So Christ tells them to wait. He ascends to heaven. He pours out the Holy Spirit. Christ is going to heaven so he can bring that kingdom down if Israel will receive him as king. God gives them another chance. And you see Peter, he says, repent to be baptized for the remission of sins. He didn't say repent and you should get baptized as a testimony. They had to get baptized for the remission of sins. Because it wasn't fully revealed yet to the Apostle Paul that it's through Christ's blood we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Paul actually shared it with them. And so the Holy Spirit come and does them with power. They do all these signs and wonders to confirm this was the Messiah. He has risen. And what happens? Israel keeps rejecting them. Their leaders keeps rejecting them. Till with the stoning of Stephen, what happens? God starts to set that nation aside. Now they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was giving them signs. And with that, what happens right after that? The Apostle Paul. Christ, what was the next step on the prophetic program? Stephen looks up and he sees Christ standing at the right hand of God. Christ was ready to come down. God to pour out his wrath. But what happens? God interrupts that prophetic program with something he never revealed before. That's why Satan didn't know about it. God can keep a secret. And then he raises up the Apostle Paul. He ushers in a new dispensation called the dispensation of grace, the mystery. And Satan didn't know through his death, burial, and resurrection that God was going to form the body of Christ. That now, apart from Israel, through their fall, that God would go to the nations where they have to come through the cross. And we find out in Paul that, I have to close, the pastor just walked in. He's being gracious. He's giving me 1 minute. And that Satan was defeated. Christ made an open spectacle. He has none on us. Sin was defeated. Read Romans 6. You died with Christ. You were buried. You rose. That the sinful nature was destroyed. That don't mean it's not there. Its power was broke. We don't have to sin. We're freed from sin. Free to serve God. And so much more. So I'm going to close with that. But I just wanted you to see the wisdom when Paul says in Romans, the depths of the wisdom of God. God took Satan at his own craftiness, even used him. And praise God for what Jesus went through. So we see the love of God and the wisdom of God. And in the cross, you see God's righteousness. He can't let sin go. Yet he loves us. And in the cross, his righteousness and his love kiss. And makes possible for our salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son. We think of what it took for Christ to go through, what it took for you to send your Son. Any of us who have children or maybe nieces or nephews that are so precious to us, we wouldn't sacrifice them for people who are a race of rebels. Yet you demonstrate your love, God, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you went through. For eternity, we'll probably be learning. May your grace and your love compel us, Lord. May your Spirit empower us to understand your word, to love others, even when they don't love us. And may your Son be glorified in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you all for listening and letting me come up here and babble on.
Thank you, Paul.
Praise God. Ariana, did you want to...
I hit it in the door, in their way, this morning.
Okay, I'm just going to put something, like, wipe it, just to...
Is it bleeding?
Yeah.